Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. As we fight back from the very edge of extinction, it seems to me, sometimes. But, you know, friends, I mean, it's not the first time that God's people have had a little bit of a hassle, a little bit of a hitch in the get-up. That's pretty much what happened with King James I. King Charles I, King Charles II, King James II. I mean, some pretty tough times there for a little while until you had the establishment of America in the 1620s and 1630s. And then we have a little trouble with King George in the 1760s and 1770s. And, you know, there's always been a battle for freedom. It's always been a battle for bringing some standard of righteousness, God's law to bear, and has never been easy. And it's typically a minority that works for the cause of righteousness and liberty, and we're happy when there are those who are out there in the middle of the conflict doing their thing. And that's what we're going to talk about on this edition of the Generations broadcast. And yeah, not a lot can happen politically right away, but hey, we've got to be working the political end of things as well as family and church and community and education. We're hitting pretty much every angle of this and need to as we are preparing to reestablish what I like to call the second Mayflower, at least on this side of the ocean. And I think America has the best shot at establishing a second Mayflower. You name another country where there is something of a heartbeat for freedom. You name another country that has a heritage of freedom. You name another country that has a slim minority that's willing to get out there and put their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor on the line for the cause of principle. It happens to be America where much of this can happen. And it is true, we got two Americas side by side. We have those that want tyranny and we have those who hate tyranny. We have those who want to destroy this nation's families and destroy morality and destroy the entire civilization. And there are those who don't want to do that. And that's me. And there's a lot of other folks out there. So today we're going to talk about making positive solutions. And one of the most important strategies I think we need to be working is a bottom-up strategy. We've got to be working in our local communities. It's tempting to want to go for the big office, and I ran for governor of Colorado in 1994, ran for U.S. Senate in 1998, so it's tempting to go for the big office. But I think we're going to make some serious progress if we continue to work the grassroots. We got to work the communities. And as we do so, I think we're going to start seeing some real turnarounds here in the near future. Okay, so with me, joining me now is Paul Michael Raymond. He's from the New Geneva Christian Leadership Academy, and that is his brainchild in Appomattox, Virginia, and that is where he's also running for county commissioner. So now, Paul Michael Raymond joins me on the Generations broadcast. Paul, welcome. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
We're pretty excited with what you're doing out there. You know, I've met you at a number of conferences. And you work with Chalcedon sometimes. You get some good books out there, and you are putting your feet to the work. You're actually trying to engage these things. You've got your own college. You've got a church community you're working with. You're involved. How did that all come about, Paul?
Well, God calls us to every aspect of life. He calls us to reconstruct every institution to conform to the image of Christ and to His law. And as you were saying in your introduction, we're looking for liberty, but we're looking for a certain kind of liberty, not a libertinism, but a liberty under law, God's law. And that is the only liberty that we're really interested in. But there's such an ignorance and almost an arrogance against God's law, and to apply the law of God, the application of theology. You see, theology is not really theology unless it is applied. Otherwise, it's just a theological head-scratching, which doesn't change anything. And our call is to change everything and to make the what is what ought to be according to the Scripture.
Yeah, our definition of liberty is not to get high on pot while you're killing your babies in the womb and having sex with anything that moves or doesn't move. That's not our definition of liberty, as it turns out. I understand that some people define it that way, but as it turns out, that is the best way to develop a slavery to sin, and a slavery to sin inevitably produces tyranny and large socialist governments. As our founders used to say, either be governed by God's law or by God you'll be governed. And that's exactly what's going on. Colorado does that. Colorado says, hey, everything that's immoral, if it's pro-abortion, if it's lighting up the pot cigarette, if it's killing kids, if it's, you know, whatever, that's good. And after a while, after, you know, the years go by, the Democrats gain control, and we're all tyrannized up the wazoo. So that kind of thing happens all the time here in Colorado.
Well, there's something of an underfoot here. There's something very, very interesting happening.
Yeah.
I witnessed it just when I was with you in Missouri, and I'm witnessing it here in Virginia, where we had pietism, a hiding out in the four-wall church ghetto, the pastors only worrying about family, individual piety, and little else, maybe the church. Now it seems that many pastors, which is fascinating, not only individuals, are looking to begin a grassroots, a ground swelling to take over local government by changing the philosophy or by implementing the biblical philosophy into the mix so that people will see what biblical law, what constitutional principles can do to free a people out of the slavery that they're in. So this whole idea of a ground movement seems to be, at least to me, especially here where we are in Virginia, it seems to be happening on a great scale, and I'm
just
so happy to be a part of it.
That's pretty neat, yeah. Now, what can you do from the local office, Paul? I mean, granted, I mean, this is a good deal, but what can you do? Can you fight for the cause of freedom and righteousness in the local area?
Yeah, well, I think the reason why most people go for the higher office, like state and the federal offices, is because they're easily dealing with moral issues.
Yeah.
What we need to understand, and this is what the rub is in the local community, in the local issues, everything boils down to ethics. Everything boils down, even especially this issue of property taxation. If you're not free in your property and your effects, you are not free.
Yes.
And incrementally, they're taking away our freedom by pulling our property out from under us.
And that may be one of the most fundamental freedoms, because if a man does not have the right to own his own property, he has no family economy. The dirt itself is the basis of all family economies, and it is the basis of all liberty. And they start taxing that, you're done for. You can pretty much kiss all your other liberties goodbye.
Right, and it's just a rent. And you got in Appomattox here in particular, you have a pretty sleepy community, a lot of retirees, a lot of folks on fixed incomes, a lot of poorer folk, and every time there's a special interest, mostly the public schools, mind you, mostly the tyrannical government indoctrinating schools, every time there's a tax hike, they're bringing it on for the school, which is a special interest. We have to stop that.
Yeah.
There's another thing that I think is very important. In many states, when you deal with local government, many of the local governing officials, for the most part, do have their hands tied because of what's called the Dillon Rule. The Dillon Rule says that the state can mandate unfunded spending, and the counties have to spend X amount of dollars because the state mandates it. So these unfunded mandates are really encroaching upon the local government, and if they don't spend the money, if they don't tax to get the money, which is, of course, they're not very creative when they just tax. They have to be more creative. Then they're penalized and by the state. So what we're going to do here is, because we're right now also working with the candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general, and we're all working together, both in my community and on the state level, and we want to deal with these unfunded mandates. Because if you don't deal with that, then you just have tyranny from the state down instead of from the feds down. So those are the things we have to deal with.
Well, of course, you got the centralization going on all the time. Federal mandates are always manipulating the state governments. State governments are manipulating the local governments. And, it's the flow uphill for the power. And there are a few freedom fighters out there willing to really push the power downhill. And if you can get guys in power that are just not the power monger types that want to centralize power all the time, if you can get guys willing to push power downhill, then you're going to have more freedom for the local communities. And I hope that, God's blessings as you seek that. You know, as you drive into our county, you get a sign, "Welcome to Elbert County, zoned and regulated." And I just, and you got to understand, Elbert County is probably the most conservative county in all of Colorado. But I drive into town saying, okay, zoned and regulated, wow. So welcome to the United Socialist States of Elbert County. That's not a good welcome sign for me. Why do I have to be zoned and regulated? Why is that so important to the local counties?
Well, it's about it's a matter of control, really.
Yeah.
Telling you what you can or cannot do.
Yeah.
The fundamental problem and the fundamental issue is the pastors mostly in these counties are coin operated. They're dealing with people that are part of the government system, part of the school system. They don't want to make waves, they'll lose their pension or what have you. So they're really fearful of their jobs, and that's quite a sin. But if the churches could just understand, if the pastors could just understand that they have the call as judges under the banner of Christ to not only get involved in the political structure and in the economic structure of the localities, but to begin to groom candidates, God-fearing men, mind you, not women, which we have a problem here with, but in fact, my opponent's a woman, but that's another issue. They need to start grooming men to get into the political arena
mm-hmm.
and deal with the issues. And then one of the other problems, Kevin, is this. When you go into public office, on the local level especially, you're dealing with the people every day because you're in that locality.
Right. You're meeting them. You're talking
meeting
to them.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a good thing because
yeah.
as we've gone out to 160 homes already, and we just started the campaign, and we are resonating with the people because I'm telling them about the fact that they don't own anything, and they're up in arms about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, the candidates, they must go out and resonate with the people by being helped by the church. But what they need once they get in office, because that's where the rubber meets the road. The running for the office is the fun part, even though it's grueling. But once they get in there, they need a team behind them because they cannot single-handedly go through all of the paperwork and all of the policies and all of the votes that they have to vote on without a team, a cabinet of God-fearing men who understand God's law in order to make decisions. They need a team. And unfortunately, most people that go into government office on the local level, at least what I've witnessed, is it's a hobby. They're retired guys. They know so-and-so. It's a good old boy network. The first thing I want to do is have term limits.
Yeah. Yeah. What is a priority, though? I mean, you mentioned property taxation. Is it really possible to abolish property taxation without dismantling the public schools and disengaging some of these mandates that come down from the state, et cetera, et cetera? It seems to me that the tyranny is pretty much well established. What can you do? What would you do?
There's two fronts that I want to deal with.
Uh-huh.
Number one, the Great Commission twice in Matthew 28 says, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you.
Mm-hmm.
The teaching issue is important. Mm-hmm. If we can bring forth a biblical philosophy of government, of economics, of education to the masses from a position of power. And remember, the wicked always run to the seat of power. That's why the churches and the Christians they stand back. They don't want to run to the power. But it's time that we take charge, because once there's a vacuum, the wicked will try to fill that vacuum. So what we need to do is firstly educate. Secondly, we stop the hemorrhaging, because I know in Appomattox, they're hemorrhaging. They just turned around and they want $50 million for a new high school.
So at the very least, stop the taxation and try to reverse the trend over time.
Right.
And, you know, there have been a few folks. The guy in Iowa, I think, was very successful at stopping a lot of these school bonds across
Paul
Iowa.
Paul Doerr.
Yeah, Paul Doerr, exactly right. Yeah, he's done a good job.
Yeah, so this is what we need to do. We need to squeeze a dollar out of a dime. We need to stop the hemorrhaging, and we need to have people recognize that a lot of the spending is unnecessary, especially when it comes to the public education system.
Yeah.
And that's where we begin.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, I mean, in your free time, just work on a dismantling plan for dismantling the public schools in America, but that may take another 20 years.
Yeah, but it's still, we got to begin somewhere. And it only takes a committed few. You see, that's the problem with Christians. They look at the behemoth, they look at the Goliath, and they say, well, we'll never beat them. It's too big. That's not the case. God has always used a small group. It's the Gideon Project all over again. Always a small group of committed people. But you know what the problem is? People don't want to sacrifice their lives in this life for the kingdom advancement. And that is going to be our biggest problem, to get people to sacrifice.
And I think we got to be appreciative for making small motions in a good direction. Don't despise the day of small things. The day of small things leads to the day of big things, but you're probably never going to make the day of big things unless you've, you know, hit the day of small things, David would have never taken down the Goliath unless he had taken down a lion and a bear. So the one leads to the other. And, you know, counties can't bind you up in a lot of petty tyranny. And people sometimes love their petty tyranny. And I think what you can do, though, is you can encourage people to, instead of running to the city or the county to get your dog barking ordinances in place, maybe just encourage them to work it out with each other. You know, let's work it out. Let's not take it to the courts.
Right.
Let's minimize the local tyrants and the petty tyrannies that you might develop in these local communities. And it's a mindset you've got to teach. And I think what you said first was important. You've got to teach it. You've got to lead by teaching, lead by example, and show people how to be self-governing in their local communities so they're not running to the civil magistrate constantly to solve all their stupid little problems for them.
Right. All right. Well, we need to resurrect church courts.
Yeah, that's
it. We need to resurrect honest
and
valid church courts and church government. But that's going to come in time. We have to develop within the community a trust. We've been working here. We moved here from New York at the belly of the beast. We came down here to do exactly what we're doing. Get ourselves entrenched in the community. Get ourselves known. Have our witness strong, our integrity intact, and then begin to work the masses, you know, just relate to them and tell them what God is saying. Now, we're in the Bible Belt, and it's a mess.
You bet it's a mess. I just got a story here somewhere. I think that was the Washington Post did a survey, and you got Virginians 56% going for homosexual marriage, up from 46% 2 years ago. I mean, that's lousy, and that's the suspenders of the Bible Belt up there in Virginia. What's going on with you people? I mean, what is this? 56% now going for gay marriage.
Well, Virginia is actually two states because you have the Bible Belt, which is southern and western, and then you have the Beltway. Now, the Beltway has the majority of the people, the greatest saturation of people, which are entirely liberal. And so we're really like two states, sort of like New York State. You've got New York City, which is entirely liberal, and then you have upstate, which is a little more conservative, but it's always pulled down by the city. So we have that problem. But I said it today to the registrar. I was at the registrar's office today, and I said, look, this is God's battle. If we don't take a stand and seek to do what God has called us to do, we will never have a victory. So at the end of the day, it's going to be God's victory. And we have seen some incredible advancement in the last couple of years. I ran for the county supervisor's position 10 years ago, but because I was new here, actually it was more than 10 years, maybe 12 years, because I was new here, the incumbent who said he wasn't going to run got a little bit cold feet. His buddy said, hey, this guy's dangerous. In fact, they wrote it in the newspaper in a letter to the editor that I was a dangerous individual, that the incumbent should come back and make things right. And of course, it was a three-way split, so I only came in second, which is a good thing for a transplant. But now the county supervisors who are seated in the county seat are now clamoring in fear that I just might take this election, which would be interesting. So you have to – in other words, what I'm saying is you have to establish yourself as someone with knowledge, with someone with intellect, with someone with wisdom, and with a witness that is uncorruptible. Otherwise, they'll pull you to shreds.
Well, I think that some of these counties outside of these large metro areas that are known for the tyrannies, known for the taxation, known for violating every single one of God's laws with impunity, I think these little counties, conservative counties outside of town, like the one I live in, like the one you live in, and many others, probably tens of millions of Americans, are really going to be the last line of defense against the rising tyranny of the day. It will be the county sheriff that will be standing in line and warding off some of these tyrants who want to confiscate our guns and the rest. So it is the local office that matters. I mean, really matters.
And even if you're not in the local office and you're just a citizen of the county, you can interface with the sheriff.
Sure.
I have lunch with the Commonwealth Attorney all the time. I see the sheriff. The sheriff I'm at the courthouse all the time. I make myself available. Facial recognition. How
yep.
are you? How's your family? How's the kids? Whatever. You know, and when they run for office, help them on their campaign. Get into their lives. Know them as a person. And you become a powerful individual. You have a relationship. That's what you have to build in these counties. That's what leadership is all about. You can't just stand off in the sidelines and drop bombs and say, well, you know, God says this and you got to do it. Well, they'll hear you if they respect you and if your witness is consistent. And that's one of the problems in the churches today. You have all these Bible-thumping individuals, and I hate to use the term, but it's true, that are really chameleons. They're not true men. They're not true Christians. And their hypocrisy is evident. So when they speak about Jesus and they speak about Christianity, people look at them like, you know, well, you're just a flat-out liar.
Mm-hmm.
When we say it, when we're speaking with a witness and of integrity and consistency behind us, that's so important. And it's not an overnight thing. Kevin, it's the main thing is patience.
Yeah.
Get into the community and work it.
Yeah. And there's a tension there between being the idealist and the guy who actually gets things done and begins to work, step by step in the right direction. And I think you need both. I mean, there's the guys who are just kind of working step by step, but they're pragmatists, and they never really have an objective in mind, and so they never actually achieve anything long term because they aren't really principled. But the other side of it is somebody can be so idealistic, they never really get involved. They never actually do anything.
Right, and they always make excuses because they don't want to get involved. My wife told me, I teach from the pulpit every Lord's Day, and I have blogs and all of these things of the college, and I teach leadership. My wife says to me, you know, you're teaching a lot of great things. You're pulling out from the scriptures, expounding and showing the strategies and the tactics of the scriptures. Now you got to go out and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's true.
It's a little more challenging.
Telling everybody else to do it, we have to go out and start it off.
Yeah, and I think the idea of getting out there into the community and teaching the local community to love liberty and not to embrace the zoned and regulated Elbert County and to say, you know, you guys can be self-governing on this. You don't need to be regulated and controlled by every single public office out there. You can develop private enterprise and family businesses and family homes without being regulated and controlled with everything that you do. You can encourage privatized certifications, privatized standardizations, and construction of small business. You do not need to constantly bring more petty tyranny into the local cities and counties. And I think if we just start training people to think like freemen instead of thinking like socialists, and we give freedom a chance, we may be able to construct some free counties here and there throughout America. Is that possible?
Look, hey, with God, all things are possible.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, what we want to get is when we go to our local vendor in the county or in the community, we want to get to a point where when we walk in, the store owner says, hey, so-and-so, what do you think about that issue? What do you think about that policy? Hey, what do you think about this that the supervisors are proposing? You want them to come to you and tap into your thinking, and that is when you can provide some very, very fertile ground to teach. You get your fertile information for their fertile ground. And you could say, well, look, this is this and this is that. And look, we're not free if they keep doing that and we're tyrannized and all that. That's what's happening here. I can't go anywhere, basically. And a lot of the folks at the church, once we go to a place, they see the petty tyranny. And they say, well, what are we going to do about that?
Mm-hmm. Do you think your average citizen in the county in which you live believes in liberty? I mean, is bothered by petty tyranny and would rather petty tyranny not be around?
You know, that's a good question. You know, the Hebrews, even after they were free and they saw Sinai and they saw all the glory and they were in the wilderness with the manna, they had a psychological slave mentality.
Yeah.
You could talk about liberty all day long, and unless they really, really understand what that means, it's an abstract. It's a total abstract. You have to show them what it means. The problem that we face with talking about liberty is there's a catch to it. Liberty requires responsibility. And the psychological slave, the slave to their sin, those slaves that are slaves to their sin and their welfareism, they don't want to be responsible. So there needs to be the gospel preached also so that men are transformed.
Yeah.
and thirst after liberty. Otherwise, you know, you're just talking in the wind.
Right. And that's, of course, why we have got to be working every aspect of this at the same time. I'm not an advocate of just working family and church, and we'll do state 25 years from now. I'm not the advocate of working on the state while we ignore building godly families and freedom-loving churches that hear the word of God with the law of liberty presented before them every single Sunday. I'm for bringing everything into a reformational force, into a reformational vortex at the same time. We've got to grow all three legs of the stool at the same time, family, church, and state, and raise up a biblical reformation in every aspect of life. And I know we're going to be busy, but that means we're just not going to have time to watch TV.
Here, you wouldn't want to do that anyway. But everything's integrated because the gospel is comprehensive, like you said, individual, family, church, and state. And there's nothing, like Calvin said, like Kuyper said also, there's nothing that God does not say in this universe, this belongs to me. Everything belongs to God.
Well, I appreciate you sharing the vision with us, Paul, today. You are certainly living the vision as best as you can out there in Appomattox, Virginia, and with your new Geneva Christian Leadership Academy. We want to wish the best for you. We pray in God's blessing upon all your efforts, including this election coming up. How can folks get in contact with you at the New Geneva?
New Geneva website is www.newgeneva.us, newgeneva.us, and from that site you can get onto our blog.
Good.
And contact us and such.
Fantastic. God's blessings, man, and stay in touch with us. We want to know how things are going. Doesn't matter if you lose. Hey, I've lost way, way more elections than you, I'm sure. And I just think losing is all part of winning, you know. As one of my friends always said, fall forward, fall forward. You're going to fall. Just fall forward. That's it.
That's great. Well,
all right.
Kevin, I do appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
God bless you, my friend. Well, there's the report from the very front lines of the battle, my friends. Paul Raymond and the work that he's doing out in Virginia. And, friends, I'm sure there are examples of that going on all over the United States. It's great to see somebody doing the work in the midst of a rather difficult age in which President Barack Obama has taken the nation in perhaps the wrong direction. But, hey, there are men still standing and not willing to compromise. They're setting the direction, a biblical direction, for reestablishing this nation upon the principles where she was founded. And this, my friends, is the beginning of the second Mayflower. This is where it begins, in our local communities, with our families, our churches, and our local governments. Encourage your children by interviews like this. Be sure that they listen to interviews like this and give them a vision for what God can do with them as they become that little David and grab the five stones and sling it up against the great Goliaths that surround them. As we do live in an age where we are seeing the decline of faith, family, and freedom, but we can, I believe, retain some significant ground with little faith. With little faith, five smooth stones, and a little sling. And that, my friends, is the program today. If you'd like to support the radio program, please check out our website at kevinswanson.com. And we're doing our annual fundraiser, hoping to pull together 100 sponsors who are willing to support the program with $10 a month or $20 a month or $100 a month. If you're one of those people who can help us stay on the air and reach tens of thousands of families around the United States and around the world, please go to our website right now and sign up to support us, kevinswanson.com, and click on Donate Today. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.